Okay.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you for your patience. We had an important personnel matter to address in closed session before this meeting. So I appreciate everyone's patience for coming and waiting for us. Statement is hereby made that the adequate notice of this meeting was given by posting written notice promptly on the bulletin board in the office of the Board of Education, the district's website, and sent to the four district schools. The mailing and or hand delivery of said notice to the designated newspapers, the Asbury Park Press, the Independent, the PLG, PSG, PSA, PTSO, SAB presidents, and student representatives to the board, and filing with the clerk of Homedale Township Police Headquarters and Public Library. Meetings of the board are open to the public, and all members of the community shall feel free to participate. There will be two opportunities for the public to speak. The first is at the beginning of the meeting for agenda items only, and the second is at the end of the meeting for other items. Any individual desiring to speak shall give his or her name, address, and the group, if any, that is represented. The presentation shall be as brief as possible, but no more than 3 minutes per individual. There are certain matters that may be referred by the president to a board committee and or superintendent for consideration of resolution. The board vests in its president or other presiding officer authority to terminate the remarks of any individual if she deems it in the best interest of those present to do so. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Here.
Mr. Sockel.
Here.
Mr. Reddy.
Here.
Mrs. Bramante.
Here.
Mr. Wall.
Okay. I thought he was here.
Mr. Foster is absent. Mr. Hammer.
Here.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Here.
Mrs. Ng.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Can you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, tonight we do not have any public hearings. Student representatives, you're up.
Good evening. I hope everyone's doing well. HHS has been conducting AP exams all month, and we hope everyone has tried their best, and we wish those who have some left good luck. And next week, the seniors will be having their prom, and we are very excited.
Good evening, everyone. The junior class had their prom last Friday at Sterling Gardens, and it was wonderful to have our class back together, and we hope everyone had a great time. For juniors, as the year comes to a close, this is a time to start thinking about colleges. The guidance department has sent out information on what needs to be done for next year, and there are many resources on our guidance department website for rising seniors. One last thing I'd like to say is this is GDA's last Board of Ed meeting. GDA and I have been involved with student government since we were in middle school, and I'd like to take this time to appreciate all the things he has done for the student body. And I wish him the best of luck as he heads to college. Thank you.
Thank you. GDA, I didn't know today was your last meeting. So thank you for your dedication over the past 2 years, both remotely and in person. We appreciate it. We wish you well as you go off to college. We would have had cake. If you need today, was your last meeting. I think we're going to do a special meeting to recognize student awards. So hopefully you guys could come to that as well. And then maybe we could celebrate GDA a little bit differently at that meeting. Okay. I think it's June 16th. We're going to do a special meeting with student awards if you're around.
At
the high school. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Seitz.
My report will be brief today. What I want to do is, first of all, point out that we have been posting our quarantine numbers for months now. And if you look at the last 2 or 3 weeks, you will notice that there has been a dramatic decline in the number of people who have had to be quarantined. And I think that goes for a number of reasons. Obviously, the willingness of our community to get vaccinated has helped tremendously. I also think the fact that the Board of Education went to great lengths this past summer and through the fall to make our schools as safe as possible. And I think that's why we're doing so well right now. I also, as I've done repeatedly, want to just take a moment to thank our staff, our teachers, administrators, and support staff for being here for the students. They were under a lot of pressure, just like all of us were. They were put in a position of having to learn how to teach remotely in a hybrid and an in-person setting all at the same time. And because of their efforts, our students have learned, probably not quite as much as we would have had in a normal school year, but we are seeing growth on the part of our students, and we are hopeful that that will continue through the balance of the school year. And I know, as the community knows already, we have put together a program called Startup, Step Up, to provide support for our students throughout the summer and throughout the next school year. And it's our expectation and our objective to have all our students back on grade level and learning at the level that they should be learning at and would be learning at if we haven't had the pandemic. So I think that's very, very important to recognize and commend all of our staff for the excellent job they've done. The other thing I want to emphasize is that we are following the CDC guidelines, and it is important that they be followed from now until they change. And I do recognize there's a change coming on May 28th, I believe, this Friday. But I'm sure as we progress through June and beyond, there will be additional changes, and we will push as hard as possible to get back to normal as soon as possible, obviously following CDC guidelines. And that concludes my report this evening.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. Any questions?
I just wanted to, to repeat what Dr. Seitz had said, which is to extend my thanks. In the 11 years on the board, I don't think we've ever faced a challenge like the challenge we faced over this past year. But I think the reason we were able to face this challenge is the fact that this is a community so dedicated to education, that the efforts that have been made over the many, many years that we've had a district dedicated to that goal helped prepare us when the chips were down. And we had to make very difficult decisions. We always made the decision on the side of what was best for our kids, what was best for our staff, what was best for the students, and our goals for achieving educational excellence. So thank you very much to everyone that participated over this last year and a half in dealing with this tremendous challenge.
Committee reports. Ms. Urbanski.
This is the report on the Curriculum Instruction and Special Services Committee. The committee met in person at 9 a.m. on May 19th for its Curriculum Instruction Special Services Committee meeting. Recommendations for approval. The committee discussed items recommended by the interim superintendent for approval, including but not limited to professional development district personnel, HFEE mini grant donations, curriculum updating with integration of Naviance in guidance, Latin and science, field trips, title fund motions, student teacher clinical practices, observation field experiences, criteria for independent evaluations in special education, and special service providers for the 2021-2022 school year. Pre-K. Dr. Charney presented data from a recently published MIT study that analyzes the long-term positive impacts of pre-K on students of various ethnicities. Pre-K is one of the most effective agents for putting children on the right path for the course of their lives. This district is offering two pre-K classes in 2021, but doubling this access in 2022. Dr. Charney recommends increasing the number of classes further. A discussion was had about how the district can offer pre-K to more students, utilizing more rooms and buildings. Key Club. The Key Club participated in the Memory Project, which involves club members painting portraits of students in Cameroon. Images of the portraits have been included in the high school daily announcements. The attached video shows the delivery of the portraits to the students in Cameroon. So if you look on the notes, you can click on the link. Special Board of Ed meeting. There will be a Special Board of Ed meeting on June 16th to recognize student achievement awards. MAP data. Dr. Chani presented the spring MAP data for grades 1 through 6. The data indicates that 428 students, approximately 25 to 30% of the students, have learning loss and will need remediation in math and ELA. There is some student overlap with students needing help in both areas. Letters along with map results were sent to all parents and invited students who might need remediation in the ESSER-funded Summer Step Up program. Targeted letters will follow from the students' teachers. Students will be grouped according to need. These student groups will range in size from 6 to 12. Many of the staff members have signed up to teach the summer program, and it is projected that the staff will be enough to facilitate the program. Gifted and talented proposal. Dr. Charney led a discussion on the possible allocation of time for the new gifted and talented teacher in the 2021-22 school year. Guidance counselor summer rotation is being arranged to meet schedules conflicts that usually arrive. AP data. Dr. Charney presented 2021 AP attendance data. Approximately 66% of AP students to date participated in taking the tests. Dr. Charney said that a high-performing school district such as Homedale should have an AP participation closer to 90%. Dr. Charney advised that he is analyzing the policies of other high-performing school districts to ascertain what steps could be taken to increase test participation in Homedale. U.S. News data. Dr. Charney presented an analysis of Homedale's rankings. Currently, Homedale is ranked 74th in the state. Homedale ranks lower than other peer high-performing districts such as Chatham, which is 23, Princeton, 28, Milburn, 15, and Tenafly, 21. The analysis shows that there is a direct correlation between school ranking and the number of students who take at least one AP test. A link to the data will be available when this is posted on the website. SATS rotating schedule. Questions were asked about the possibility of looking into the effectiveness of the SATS rotating schedule now that it has been put in place for 2 years. Our next meeting date is June 21st at 9 a.m.
Thank you. Any questions?
Just a brief one. If we put the rotating schedule in for SATS, will that allow us to have the same time with opening at SATS in the high school and have a collaboration of that together? Is that possible? I know that's been discussed or asked.
We actually have been looking at the schedules at all levels, and I think it might be possible to have the same schedule both SATs and the high school. I know the one thing we haven't really evaluated yet is the impact on the busing, because we tier and we actually need more buses for the high school, fewer buses for SATs, but then we also have to look at the impact on SATs and Village. So we are looking at that now. I really am not sure if we see any change for 21-22, but we are looking at it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I had a question. So Elizabeth, thanks for the report. I did have a question. I was looking at the link that you had on there, and I didn't know, do you know 74 out of, do you know what that number is?
I don't, but I assume it's the number of schools in the
state. Yeah, but no, 74 out of 220.
I thought it was 300 and something schools.
How many operating
school districts is it? And this, maybe Lee knows. Well, we could ask Dr. Charney, he's online.
Is it high school or you're talking about school districts?
It's just saying New Jersey ranking, and it says 74.
If it's high schools, it's about 300.
Right, okay. I just wasn't sure if it was 74 out of whatever. And then
I think what more is important is where, if we consider ourselves a high performing school district, where we should be in relationship to people we consider peers.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. It would be interesting if it's I could see, it's like a 25-30% difference between those schools. So to me, if I'm thinking, okay, if I'm G-Day or, the junior rep, the seniors at this point, I could see a lot of times like, I'm not taking this AP class. It's not going to affect me in college. I already have my grades. Whatever the reason is, I'll be curious of those APs, what's the percentage of 11th graders and 12th graders? Meaning, is it 50-50? Because that will drive the number. So, Dr. Charney, if you could, maybe by next month or whatever, like to know the breakdown of how we have the kids taking the test, because that would obviously have a direct correlation.
Mr. Ruddy.
Since you mentioned seniors in the AP and I experienced the AP this year, I will say the main reason of why many seniors don't take the AP is because a lot of the seniors end up in colleges that don't like take them, or they know what they're going to study and they just don't use them. So just like, why am I going to take a test that will have no effect on me? And like, it's a good thing. Think about it. They gone to really good schools that don't require them. So it's like a double-edged sword, but that's why they're not taking it, a lot of them. And then some of them just don't want to take it because some of them want to take an AP class to learn more about the subject because they just like learning, not because they necessarily want to take the exam. But many of my friends and many of the kids I take classes with didn't take it because their college didn't use it or their major wouldn't use it.
I'd like to comment.
Sure, Dr. Seitz, thanks for
that. Again, I think they're all very good points. And I think a couple of things need to be said. We see the AP exam as a part of the AP experience. By not taking an exam, I think the student is shortchanging him or herself. And taking a AP exam by any measure is a challenging activity. And I think the more challenges we can provide our students at the high school level bodes well for their success at the postgraduate college level. So I think that's one of the factors why I think we should encourage students to take AP exams. The second thing is it provides us with strong feedback on how well we're doing in the teaching of those programs. You know, the AP program has our top students taking a very challenging national curriculum, and the AP exam allows us to then analyze how well of a job we did in the teaching the AP program. So I think that's very beneficial to the students, the teachers, and the improvement of instruction. I think it's important to note that we're not, at least I can speak for myself and probably for everyone up here, we're not interested in rankings for the sake of rankings. What we're interested in is how we rank against high-performing schools so we can have similar targets. Why, for example, do the other schools that were mentioned earlier have so many more students taking the AP exam than we do? I think that's a very legitimate question. Is there a culture issue in Homedale that has morphed itself into a belief that the AP exams aren't necessary, aren't important? And I think that's one of the things we want to look at long term. Why does a school district like Princeton, Milburn, and others, Chatham, why are their students ranked above us? Their schools are ranked above us. Why are their students taking AP exams when ours aren't? And that analysis may give us some insight into the culture that exists here, whether it's in the school or the community, and maybe we can begin to address it. Because again, at the end of the day, I really feel you have not really experienced the AP program without taking that exam. It is challenging, and I certainly understand that a lot of colleges don't accept it, don't need it. I can see where it may not benefit the student as he or she goes on to college in terms of credits achieved or courses taken and so forth and so on. But by the same measure, it does provide them with a rigorous experience that I think will help prepare them for what lies ahead, whether it be undergraduate school, graduate school, or beyond. So that's why we're looking at it. We need to know what is happening here that isn't happening in other districts. And again, I think Homedale, in my mind, should be ranked in the top 10 of the state, if not in the top five. And that's really what we're looking for. We think this community expects excellence, and we have set a standard that we're moving towards excellence. And as a result of that, we have to make some very difficult, challenging decisions that not everybody may be happy with. But sometimes to go from good to great, you've got to stop doing what you're currently doing and do something different to achieve that greatness. And I really believe Homedale has the resources, the teachers, the students, the programs, the curriculum, everything you need to be a high-ranking school, not only in the state of New Jersey, but really across the country. And that's why we're looking at these things, and that's why AP exams are being closely scrutinized at this point. To me, the AP exams should not be heavily weighted in the ranking of high schools, but they are. So it's something we look at. It's a data point that we can refer to. And again, it might be more important to know why our students are not taking the AP exam, and we may have a very sound, rational reason for it, and that may then allow us to go on beyond. But right now, we don't know why. We'd like to find out why. And again, I think if you're really taking the AP experience seriously, then the AP exam has to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Dr. Seitz, do you have a HIB report? Oh, no. I'm not done with committee reports. There was one more. It would be Pete Reddy had a committee. Buildings and grounds, right? Don't you have a buildings and grounds report? Okay. Terrence, you don't have a report, right? And Joe, do you have a report? Okay, good. Just, I just thought my memory was correct.
Just ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Right. The buildings and grounds Building Grounds and Safety Committee met on May 20th at 5 p.m. Thankfully, we had a rather light meeting. After the last couple of years, it's nice that, you know, with the 2020 referendum finally winding down, meetings aren't long, you know, over 2 hours, things like that. So two things, the continual conversation, the Homedale 2020 referendum update. Several punch list items that we discussed last month are still in the works. No real change since the last meeting. And then the exterior site additions, renovations to the Satson High School. The administration, Gray, Hawk, and Spiesel continued contract negotiations with M&M. Actually, during our meeting, they had a walkthrough. So we will get further update next month on the resolution of the negotiations that have been going on. And then the only other topic we had in our meeting this month was the fuel usage analysis, which we reported on last month. The committee reviewed and continued discussing the field usage analysis on Rogie, the upper high school field, and the SATS fields, which was updated since the last April meeting. At that time, people wanted to know how many hours exactly we were using the different fields. And like we said last month, the fields were used in a very high amount. Even so, as of today, I'm picking up my son from the, from Indian, or what is it, Indian Village School, excuse me. And I see the high school girls lacrosse team plays there. I never realized that they don't practice at the high school field. And it just tells me, I was like, wow, here's the high school lacrosse team playing at Village School, which tells us the fields are not, we don't have enough of them. So I didn't realize that actually the high school team actually plays over here as well, I guess, when Rogie Field is being used. So it was good. It was good analysis that we've done. I think it confirms what we already knew, that there's not enough fields within the high school SATS complex. And, that was it. Next meeting is June 24th, 5 p.m. And that's it. Questions?
Seeing none. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your committee reports. Dr. Seitz, do you have a HIB report this month?
No, we do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, at this point in the meeting, we take questions or comments from the public on action items only. Denise, do you have something on an action item? Right? Good.
Right, you're going to have to vote on the curriculum writing?
Yes.
So, as I said last time, there is a dispute between the association and the Board of Education regarding the curriculum writers for the summer. You're putting it at the old rate of $46. There is a flat rate we agreed to during negotiations, and this is currently under a complaint filed with PERC. So I'm asking you not to vote on this or to put it into the correct amount of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone from the public on Zoom?
There are two people. It's a three, actually.
Go ahead. Is it, James, I can't see it.
It's just James.
It just says James. Hey, just James. Can you give your name and address, please?
He's muted. James, you look like you're muted.
Yes.
If you could unmute yourself. Maybe it's Jay.
All right, can you go to Jay then?
Good evening. Jay Yanello, 18 Ladwood Drive. I first would like to thank the board for everything they did to get the schools open, and I was very proud to send my daughters there every day they physically could during the school year. I'm here to comment on Merrill Gill's retirement as Director of Special Services after 14 years. I just want to say that she's done a wonderful job. She's not just been a director or administrator. She's lived this job. She was invested in it. She knows the children by name. She helped create an incredible program that has put other towns in the same socio-demographic or socio-economic zip codes as us to shame. Their programs are a shame compared to ours. So I'm here tonight to thank you, Merrill, and also to ask you, Dr. Seitz, and the board, what are we going to do now about this? How are we going to approach this? And I'm coming from this from two stances. One is a parent of a daughter with special needs in the community, and most of you know my daughter, Jordan. I'm also coming as a husband to a wife who is a special education monitor and gives her heart out every day working hard for these children. I know there's a lot of concern in the community, both of parents and of people in the program, as to where it's going to go forward. I have witnessed firsthand beyond my wife incredible work on Zoom from people like Mr. Graham, from Ms. Regal, all trying to do their best during this very challenging year. These people are not just teachers. They have their heart in it, and that comes from a program leadership that drove such a culture. We need to take this program very seriously going forward. I hope you all will do this and really give it some attention and continue the level of investment we have in this program, particularly given the setback last year. A lot of these kids regressed. I know my daughter lost out on 500 hours of supervised overseeing of her work. So, Dr. Seitz, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have any initial thoughts on how we will replace Merrill Gill and keep such a very good program that, and I've said this many times, and I'm just going to say it one more time, not only does this program greatly benefit children with special needs, but it also creates much better, enlightened, compassionate kids in the community and throughout the world. We have a better student body because they truly respect the children in this town that have special needs, and they're just going to be better people going forward because of it. So I'd just like to know any of your guys' thoughts on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I think we all echo your comments, and Dr. Seitz, I'm sure, can tell you exactly what his plan is, his plan of action.
Sure. I mean, again, I do echo your comments regarding the exceptional program you have here in Homedale. Believe it or not, a year or two ago, the district did put in place what would be called or could be called a succession plan. Unfortunately, that plan did not work out as we had intended. As soon as we learned of Mrs. Gill's retirement, we posted for a full-time director's position, and we began searching for an interim director to fill the gap between now and when the new full-time director comes on board. We also are fortunate to have someone in the district working at the senior administrative level who has a very strong background in special education and has, in fact, worked for the Department of Ed in the area of special education. We are, at the moment, doing our best to ensure that we have people in place to oversee the extended school year program, which will start in July. We know we will have that covered. We will provide the appropriate supervision. And between now and then, we'll certainly provide the identify and hire the necessary teachers, make sure the programs we need are in place, and make sure the resources we need for the ESY program are available to the teachers who will be doing that program. We have a few more details to work out, but I am completely confident that the next big hurdle for us is the ESY program, and that will be in place in July. In terms of the selection process, we haven't finalized the process that we will be using in terms of who will actually be participating. But as we have done in the past, we will have multiple interviews. We will have a review of applicants. We will have reference checks. And depending on how this plays out, we may have some other steps that we take before we recommend a candidate to the board for hiring for the director of this position. So like you, this is a number one priority for us. When I say that, I mean the program itself. And certainly we're going to do everything we can throughout the next 3 to 6 months to make sure we get the best person available. And we have already heard from some candidates. In fact, our advertisement has resulted in 8 people applying for the position as of today. That job posting is still open, which means we are hope to receive additional applicants for the position. But again, we're fortunate that we have someone in district who has a strong special ed background. And I also have to commend the 2 secretaries that worked in Mrs. Gill's office. They are very competent, and they are doing a lot of the work that needs to be done. And then the final comment I'll make is that, as you may or may not know, over the past 6 to 8 months, I think it's more like 6 months, the board approved my request to have a complete analysis done of our special education program. And we've had consultants on board since then. They've interviewed parents, they've interviewed staff members, they've observed classes, they've observed our documentation, and they are preparing a report that, from what I hear from comments they've made over the past few months, will be very, very positive, because as you said, we do have an extraordinarily positive, strong program in the district. That report will be presented to the board in July. And of course, any recommendations they have within that report will be implemented as soon as possible. So I think we're in a good position. It's unfortunate that the board's vision or foresight to have a succession plan in place didn't work out, but the person we hired, unfortunately, got a much better offer closer to her home, and she left us early, because that was the plan, to have her here as a supervisor for a couple of years, and then when this position became available, let her slip right into it. But we will certainly stay on top of the program. And again, I think we're in a very good place, and I'm very confident that you will see the transition from interim or permanent director seamless, and that the needs of our students will continue to be met, because we do have a strong child study team staff, and we still have and we do have excellent teachers, and of course we do have our special education monitors who do a fantastic job. So we're in a good place, and we will continue the excellence that is in that program. Thank you.
Next comment.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Kwang Guo from 7 Wagner Court. I sent an email to Linda Zhang before the meeting with some questions regarding the agenda item. Right now, I just want to repeat them. It's more related on the, I think we saw quite a few retirement and resignation today for this meeting. There are 7 in total for the May meeting. And I use the data online, and we noticed there are 36, including this one, for this year, with still 1 month left for the school year. So I just wonder whether this is a normal pattern for the retirement and the resignation. And the last year, I remember there are 26 in total, and I don't know what happens in the year before. So I just have concern on the pattern of the people retire and leave the school kind of surprisingly. So I wonder, I really appreciate the study made by Dr. Chani on the AP. I wonder whether school and the BOE can prepare the similar study on the, I think on the faculty team about the schools for the district over last 5 years, according to the seniority and also versus replacement, see whether there could be some potential structural change in the, I think, the expertise and the strength of the team. And with that, if we recognize that is a pattern, can we do something similar to the referendum 2020, just like just to make sure that the right thing should be done systematically and avoid I remember some board member mentioned, according to the study, the students don't have enough fields in the district to play lacrosse. But if there is not good enough teacher in the district for the students, I think this is a similar issue. So I just wonder whether we can carry out a similar study, which keep a track about this kind of shortage or surplus in terms of the faculty's team strengths, and to make sure that we can keep the stability of that for the district. Yeah. And by the way, I really appreciated the comments from Dr. Seitz on the AP test, and also mentioned the Hongdae should be high performing district for the 5% of the NGA, which I think is the top 15. I think that target is really good for us, and we are very happy to hear that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Dr. Seitz could respond to your questions regarding retirements, especially at this time of the year.
Yes, again, this is traditionally when you do get your retirements, whether it be a teacher, a support staff, or an administrator. I think it just makes sense to us to end our tenure in the district at the end of the school year, as opposed to in the middle of the school year, because of the disruption that would cause. Now, in terms of the number of retirements, I have to tell you that the one thing we have constant in New Jersey is change, especially of superintendents and administrators. Even though superintendents by law are required to have a contract that lasts a minimum of 3 years and a maximum of 5 years, the last information I saw on this, superintendents in New Jersey have a tenure of about 2 years in their district. So the turnover at the superintendent level is extraordinary, and I won't get into a discussion on why I think that's occurring. I don't think that would be appropriate, or we have the time this evening, but I think there are underlying reasons that cause that. With regard to the other positions, again, change occurs at the senior administrative level all the time. It's great when you get someone who stays in the position for an extended period of time, but there's also a benefit to turnover. A new set of eyes, a new vision, a new assessment of what's going on in the districts in terms of program and personnel. But what we're experiencing right now is not unusual. I had a very similar experience in one of my other districts, where I was the long-term permanent superintendent, and you just have to deal with it. The good news is, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but in the vacancies that we have right now, we've had a lot of people apply. And let's see if I have it. I have it right here. We have right now, we have 38 applicants for the high school principalship. We have 169 applicants for the assistant elementary principal, and we have 136 for the high school assistant principal, and we have posted for Mrs. Gill's position, and that posting is still going on, and we have 8 people who have applied for that. So again, to your question, you know, I think everybody would love stability. I think everybody would love if things didn't change, but the reality is things change all the time, and districts are equipped to handle it. And as I said, there are in many cases a plus size, an upside to having people transition in and out of a district. And we'll deal with it. I mean, I don't think you'll see any reduction in quality of this school district. And I certainly anticipate that during my tenure here, we'll do everything we can to continue to improve Homedale And I think, you know, we have tremendous community support, tremendous board support, tremendous support from the staff. And as a result, we were able to open much earlier than anyone else in the county. And I think that is just another indication of the quality that you have here in Homedale. Thank you.
One other thing you might want to take into consideration is two pretty important statistics. If you look at the Bureau of statistics from the federal government, education is one of the fastest growing fields in the country, about 4% growth. But at the same time, if you look at the demographics of teachers out there, about 30% of all teachers are over the age of 50. So if you put those two numbers together, you're going to see a lot of people who are getting close to retirement age at a time that you have an industry that is growing very rapidly. So turnover in education is clearly going to be a challenge going forward.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. What happened? Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, again, it's me.
I know. Thank you. That's what I said. Just go ahead.
I really appreciate the answer from Dr. Seitz and also Mike. I think that's we understand that there is a lot of turnover. I think many things is a change a lot in the last 2 years in America, and we truly understand that. And but the one thing I think, in order to for us to understand whether the quality is reduced or keep it the same, shall we have some track on the school performance? I think in some key area, as in English or literature, mathematics. I remember 2 years ago, or maybe just 3 years ago, in the winter, there is a presentation by the school just to put Homedale to compare with, I think, a two set of peers groups according to their performance. I think from K or from the third grade to, I think, to 11th grade. I think that study is a very, very, very straightforward for us to understand what our position is. In particular, because the pandemic, I think, has a huge impact on the local school lives, and we should keep more close track about how students is impacted by this pandemic. And also, as you mentioned, because the faculty team turnover will be growing more rapid, which I think the impact will be even more on school, on students. So shall we have some regular school performance study? Maybe I think twice a year or once a year, just to keep a track about whether the school's quality has been as expectation. So that's my
So we're required to do that by state and federal law. Mm-hmm. So we do that, and there's presentations to that. Dr. Seitz could answer to those items, but I know that they're actively looking at that. And one of the benefits of us being opened throughout the school year longer than most other school districts was that we are measuring the learning gaps and we are able to address them and attack them. And there's a robust and comprehensive program in place for the summer to address it so that we could really get these kids ready for the fall. But Dr. Seitz could give you statute and references that require us to do exactly what you're talking about.
Well, he may have been able to do that 20 years ago, but not tonight. What I do want to mention, though, is that we do have a state testing program. It's required by the federal government, and that is the report you were referring to, and that is required by law. However, we don't stop there. This district does a lot of formative tests, and we use two programs. One is called MAPS. One is called LinkIt. And this allows us three times a year to assess the student growth during the school year, and it enables the teachers to use that information to inform their instruction and make adjustments in what they're teaching and how they're teaching it. So Homedale does have a robust formative testing program, and we are also in the process, hopefully by the fall, presenting to the board a dashboard of indicators so they can do exactly what you said, monitor our growth over time, and make adjustments as necessary to continue or to ensure that we have growth and no downside to what's going on. So the dashboard will be developed. It'll be benchmarked against other high-performing districts in the state of New Jersey, and that will give the board and the public an opportunity to see where we are and where we need to go and how we're going to get there. So we agree with your comments that the testing is critical, whether you have turnover or not. And again, it's used primarily to inform teachers so they can adjust their instructional program as necessary.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. Seeing no other questions, right? Okay. We're going to move on to the agenda items. May I have a motion for items number 1 through 7?
Move.
Item 9 and item 14 to 41.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
I did have one question. I apologize, I didn't bring it up before, but I must have missed it. On number 26, Mr. Cohen, who's a great teacher, by the way. Mm-hmm. I was just curious, what's the work-based learning teacher? He went from being the financial literacy, 1.0 to 0.6. I was just curious what that was.
You referred to item 26?
Yeah.
Mr. Cohen.
Again, I don't have the details, but I can tell you that I couldn't read my own writing. He's gone from the business teacher. He's going to be business 4 tenths a week or 4 tenths a day. And then 6 tenths, he's going to be the work-based learning teacher. That's the position the district created 2 years ago, didn't fill this year because of the pandemic. So he'll be working with the work-based learning program.
Is that like the kids who are working at jobs and things like that?
Yes, okay. Yes, exactly. No,
that's great, yeah. I mean, he's, again, kids, I've heard a gazillion comments over the years. I don't think he's been here forever, but he's been always great comments, so.
Yeah, I don't think he would see this as a promotion positive step. I mean, I didn't speak to him.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think he sees this as a good thing.
One of your more energetic teachers, for sure.
Good.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes.
Mr. Sacco.
Yes, except for item 2, which I'll abstain.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Brunante.
Yes.
Mr. Roll.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Item number 8, Mr. Sacco, can you read that?
Item number 8, acceptance of monetary donations from the Homedale Foundation for Educational Excellence. The board accepts with gratitude a monetary donation from the Homedale Foundation for the Educational Excellence in the amount of $15,985.76. It will be used to fund 2021-2022 mini grants as described in Attachment D.
Thank you. Kevin, motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, cover roll call, please.
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, thank you so much.
Mr. Sacco.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Brunante.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, thank you very much.
Mrs. Zhang.
Yes, thank you.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Item number 10. Mr. Sacco, can you please read that?
Item number 10 is approval of retirement for the Director of Special Services for the district. Ms. Merrill Gill has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since April 10th, 2007. And whereas Ms. Gill has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Gill has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Gill has submitted a letter announcing her retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective August 1st, 2021. Therefore, resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts Mrs. Gill's retirement with gratitude for Mrs. Gill's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Gill its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. I have a motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion.
I'll say something. Congratulations, I guess, would be in order. I just want to be on a pleasure working with you for, I guess, the last 7 years. I know one of my kids had a speech impediment early on, and her group were always to the call and always very professional and very much appreciated from a personal perspective. And just congratulations and enjoy your retirement.
Yes, Merrill, I wish you, this is a well-deserved retirement. I wish you well. I appreciate everything you've done for our family as we joined the school district when Gracie was in third grade. Now she's already in 10th grade, and I am very thankful for everything that you have done for her and our family throughout the years to help Gracie through her education here in Homedale.
I am accurate in saying that this is actually Merrill's second retirement, since I believe she served with distinction in the New York City School District in a similar capacity. It says something about a person who retires from a position and is pulled back into it because of her sense of dedication and her sense of the love for the children that she is serving. So I certainly hope that after two retirements, you will find the satisfaction that you seek away from the schools. Good luck to you, Merrill.
Thank you. Motion, second, discussion. Okay, have a roll call, please. Yes, best wishes.
Yes, best wishes.
Mr. Redding.
Yes.
Mr. Paramonte.
Yes, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. Yes, enjoy your retirement.
Yes.
Suzanne.
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mr. Sokol, can you read item number 11?
Absolutely. I hope I get the pronunciation right, though. It's what? Bushema. All right, thanks. Permanent retirement mathematics teacher, Homedale High School. Ms. Julie Bushema has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since September 1st, 2006. And whereas Ms. Bushema has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Bushema has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Bushema has submitted a letter announcing retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective July 1st, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts as Ms. Bushema's retirement with deep gratitude and Ms. Bushema's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Ms. Bushema its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Come in motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion. Seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, best wishes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes.
Mr. Redding.
Yes.
Mrs. Benavente.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, best wishes in your retirement.
Mrs. Zane.
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Item number 12, Mr. Sokol.
I'm going to start charging the district soon. Item number 12, approval of retirement science teacher, Homedale High School. Whereas Dr. Josephine Blaha has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since September 1st, 2002, and whereas Dr. Blaha has faithfully executed duties with skill and competency, and whereas Dr. Blaha has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Dr. Blaha has submitted a letter announcing a retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective July 1st, 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts Dr. Blaha's retirement with deep gratitude to Dr. Blaha's dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to Dr. Blaha its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Have a motion.
Move.
Second.
Discussion.
Go ahead. I have to say, Dr. Blaha is going to be a huge loss to this district. I mean, ever since I joined the Board of Ed and some of the first early meetings that I had with some of the teachers, she's been on the forefront of innovation in this district and holding kids to extremely high standards. The research program that she does with the colleges, I was lucky enough to finally have my middle son Ryan take her class this year, and I'm really disappointed that he's not going to be able to take her research class next year, but I'm hoping that the district has transitioned as much and taken as out of her brain and out of her work and plans and that kind of stuff, and they're able to get somebody in to replicate or at least keep the amazing programs that she has sustained going forward. But I just wanted to say Dr. Blaha, I really respect all the hard work that you've done over the past many years. And specifically for my child, well, my son Ryan, I wish Joey had you, but and my daughter won't, but it's really, I'm missing out. And I love the way she taught. She always taught with a, she taught smart. Like, she would never have the kids study things without studying the right things versus studying the wrong things and then not realizing that they got it wrong. And, you know, so she always was smart about having them study the right stuff or the right answers, not what they think are the right answers, and then find out later. So she was really smart about doing a lot of that stuff, and she really cared about her students. And I think all the words, the micro grants and all the programs that she ran was just a testimony to her keeping this. And was a big part of why this district is a high performing district, and she will be sorely missed. So thank you very much for your many years of service. And I personally will miss you, and I wish you your best of luck in your future.
Thank you, Joe, for sharing that. Any other comments? Eileen?
One of the things that I enjoy most about the board, some of our board meetings, is when we can celebrate our students and all of their successes. And year after year now, for many years, we have heard of all of Dr. Blaha's students that have gone so far with their research that they've won awards, and every year it's a high number of kids that are winning. So she's obviously brought so much to our district, and she will definitely be sorely missed. I also have heard over the years all the kids were constantly clamoring to get into her class. It's always like a big thrill, kids who get in and do these advanced honors research programs, and it's really nice to see that she inspires so many kids, and they want to get in there and they want to do the research. And she's just been really a great role model for our students too, who are looking to go into research and analysis. And she will be missed. So I wish her the best of luck on her retirement.
Thank you, Eileen, for sharing that.
Sort of funny. I remember 7 years ago getting on the board, and I remember going to the first graduation and, you know, putting on this gown that you haven't put on for 20 something years. And there's Dr. Blaha there, and she's got this gown. She looks like Gandalf from, like, you know, Harry Potter's, this huge gown with all these accolades and everything like that. And I sort of looked over, and I think it was Barbara Duncan, I think, was the superintendent then. And I remember looking over, and I was like, who is this teacher? Like, I didn't know who she was, whatever. Then I found out, you know, MIT. And then year after year, like Joe and Eileen were saying, like, every year you hear all these kids and the amazing things they're doing, from studying genomes. And I think this year, G-Day, they're moving satellites and all these other things. And I'm like, this teacher's tremendous. And then every year, the humility and the humbleness she has is just, oh, it's the kids. And it's not. It is the kids, but it's also her. And, you know, if you don't have a leader, you know, these kids can sort of just go the direction they want to. And every year she would just make them better and better. And, you know, I looked at this stuff going, oh, my God, thank God I don't go to this school, because there was no way I would ever pass that lady's class or even have a chance in her class, because, you know, how smart she is and how amazing the kids are. So I just remember every year seeing her after that going, oh yeah, there's Dr. Blaha, she's got this big gown on. And I'm looking at my gown going, not even close, but that's okay. So just congratulations, and thanks for all you've done for this district in the last 20 years. I think it's remarkable.
She's such an amazing teacher. She would actually help you pass her course.
Yeah, I appreciate her inspiring so many students in our district and bringing it to a higher level. So thank you, Dr. Blaha, for everything that you've done for our district.
Is it okay if I say something?
Yes, of course.
So I've been in Dr. Blaha's classes for 2 years. I took her chemistry class this year and the Honors Advanced Research class for 2 years. And I've learned so much, and I would really like to thank her. And whenever I talk to my friends outside of school, they're always looking for research opportunities. And to be able to have the opportunity to study research in school is something that I will always forever be grateful for. And I really think it's a great thing. So I'd like to thank Dr. Blaha, and hope she has a wonderful retirement. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Glad you were here to say something like that. It's great. Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Wynn.
Yes, best wishes.
Mr. Sokol.
Yes, good luck.
Mr. Rennie.
Yes.
Mrs. Bonamonte.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes, thank you, and all the best to you.
Mr. Weimer.
Yes, congratulations.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, and best wishes on your retirement.
Zane.
Congratulations for your achievements and the best wishes for your retirement.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mr. Sockel, item number 13. Would you please read?
Into it. Item 13, approval of retirement special education monitor at Homedale High School. Whereas Ms. Christine Samuro has served the Homedale Township Public Schools with distinction since December 18th, 2008, and whereas Ms. Samuro has faithfully executed her duties with skill and competency, and whereas Ms. Samuro has earned the respect of her colleagues and community residents, and whereas Ms. Samuro has submitted a letter announcing retirement from the Homedale Township School District effective July 1st, 2021, now therefore be it resolved that the Homedale Township Board of Education accepts Ms. Samuro's retirement with deep gratitude for her dedication, loyalty, and outstanding services performed, and further extend to her its best wishes for a happy and healthy retirement.
Thank you. Can I have a motion?
Move.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, can we roll call, please?
Ms. Flynn.
Yes, congratulations.
Mr. Sockel.
Yes.
Mr. Reddy.
Yes.
Mrs. Benedetti.
Yes.
Mr. Wall.
Yes.
Mr. Hammer.
Yes, congrats.
Mrs. Urbanski.
Yes, best wishes on your retirement.
Mrs. Zane.
Yes, congratulations.
Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Any old business board members? Terrence?
Yes.
Yes or no?
New business.
New business, okay. Okay, any new business?
I don't know if I have old business, but it was just an addendum to my buildings and grounds report. I thought it'd be meant to mention that a couple of years ago when Shane Fallon was still here, we were going, there was a lot of concerns, or not concerns, but comments about the banners in the gyms and things like that. So I just wanted to report out, I forgot to report out that the banners in the gym that have all the different sports from track and field to basketball, football, everything else, from what I understand, the athletic director said, the project is complete. They updated all the banners. They even went so far as adding a banner for all the divisional winners since 1976. And then he said it was a long project and it involved getting with a lot of old alumni and things like that and checking and double checking to make sure all the teams are accurate and what they are. So just wanted to let the public know that, because that's, you know, a lot of people have thought over the years, like, oh, why isn't the wrestling team up there, or the football team, or the track and field records and things. So glad to report that that project is complete and it's good publicity and, you know, rightfully so. So thank you.
Thank you. Terrence, do you have a new business item?
Under new business, does anybody else have new business?
Any old business? I have new business. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Under new business, I just want to note again for the record that we are meeting, we're having a special meeting on June 16th to recognize our students and their awards and everything that they've accomplished throughout the year. So I hope members of the public can come and, you know, congratulate our students and the parents will be there. It'll be a nice day. And I'd also ask Dr. Seitz, some of the times, I say this from time to time when we're talking about the retirements, I hope we could also recognize the retirements of our teachers over the last 2 years during that period, that meeting. Because unfortunately, due to COVID, we really haven't had an opportunity to recognize them like we normally would. We usually have people come here, family members, have cake. That's why we always joke, do we have cake? But we would like to, I would like to somehow recognize all of our teachers, if they would like. I'm sure Denise, you will communicate this to them, because I really felt like they've been shortchanged. A lot of, you know, a lot of apparently kids feel that way. I feel that way. The board feels that way. And we want to make sure that they are recognized for everything that they have done for this school district. So I think that would be a nice way to do it while we're also recognizing our students, because, you know, there's our student success is also related to their hard work as well. So Denise, I hope you could share that with them. I hope that works. I hope we can make something work out like that.
7 p.m. Indian Hill.
Yeah. No. High school. I haven't seen the new media center, so I'd really like to get a look at that space that night, if possible. Eileen Briamonte.
I was wondering, do we have a date yet for the senior awards? Dr. Seitz, by any chance?
I don't have it, but I believe it was going to be sent out this week, but I'll check.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Wall?
Sure, thank you. I'm going to take a couple minutes to read something, because it's not so often that you're taken out of your comfort zone so dramatically that you realize that something is happening that cannot happen. And a couple days ago, I read the comments from the governor that in September, 3.5 months from now, like Zoltar on the boardwalk, it's known that the children have to have face masks on when they come back to school. So that's 3.5 months from now. The governor has decided that little girls and boys in Homedale, every other school in the state, and young ladies and gentlemen will have masks mandatory on their faces. And this is after most folks, parents, teachers, and caregivers have decided, you know what, the year's about to end, let's wrap it up, let's get into summer. Our numbers are basically zero in Homedale, virtually zero. But somehow in September, COVID's hot and they have to wear masks. So we're gonna continue to gag our kids on the first day of a brand new school year. That is something that pulled me out of a meeting. I thought it was a joke. I had to be sure. It's not a joke. I want everyone to think about that for a moment as you walk around all day without a mask as adults. For a governor who values science, this expresses none. He referenced the fact that a reason is due to not having a vaccine for little boys and girls. That, folks, is vaccine extortion. Remember that phrase, you'll be hearing it again. Vaccines are more than a taco or a free park pass or a shot or a beer. Vaccines are a choice, and it's a very important choice for many different folks. There currently are no vaccines for children that are under 12. It's a personal decision. It's a very important decision to be taking with your healthcare provider, perhaps some members of your faith. But to say that we're going to mask children in September because there is no vaccine is vaccine extortion, and I deeply, deeply resent it. And I am highly confident that many parents across the state agree with that. There is no vaccine mandate, by the way, notwithstanding some comments I heard from the mayor in Homedale. You don't need to prepare for schools with a vaccine with your children. There's no mandate for them to start schools with a vaccine. Speaking on my own only, I'm absolutely opposed to mandating a vaccine. There is no mandatory vaccine for little boys and little girls with something that has absolutely no long-term understanding. And there will not be one if I have anything to do with it. Some folks may think this is a political opinion. Let's talk about that, because it's not. This came out 2 days ago or so, something like that. But I will say Murphy has been given $4.5 million by the NJEA, so spare me the hypocrisy in saying that these are political opinions. Spare me the hypocrisy. I do urge the president of the NJEA, Sean Spiller, and the vice president, Steve Beattie, and the secretary treasurer, Petal Robertson, who should have been, by the way, Denise King, to cut the puppet strings to Phil Murphy on this September mask issue. If you have a relationship, that's fine. Don't drag these puppet strings into this issue in September. Parents aren't gonna tolerate it. And I'll give the NJEA a selfish reason. He's gonna lose the election if he pushes beyond another month or so, in my opinion. So if you want your friend in Trenton to remain in Trenton, back off of this one, my opinion. People will not stand for any attempts at vaccine extortion. It will not work. The damage now, think about some of the policies we have in the school system from the Department of Education and some of the training from the foremost professionals in the field. Social and emotional learning, so desperately needed today. Masks do not advance social and emotional learning. In fact, they hit reverse and floor it. These are supports, including mental and psychological and social supports that are so desperately needed today. The massive advancement of depression, anxiety, self-harm, and suicide ideation will not be tolerated and will be right in the governor's lap if this thought process continues. And I'm almost done.
There is no statistic, there is no science, and no facts in this imperial effort to control New Jersey school children any further. They will rise up, they will fight you every single day, Phil Murphy, until this unscientific mandate, this knuckleheaded concept, is dead on arrival. You may have a union that watches out for you, Phil Murphy, but the children have a union too, and I'm one of the members. Lastly, I would suggest that the Board of Education seriously consider a resolution to be contemplated, if not this evening, after a subcommittee, to think it through and think of the wording and think of the science and the statistics for this psychic awareness that in 3.5 months with zero COVID, we need to wrap an artificial mask around little girls and little boys' faces going into September. It's obscene. Thank you.
Thank you, Terrence. After speaking with some of the board members, that's something I want to send to our subcommittee for discussion, because I know I'm going to have to read a question publicly, and I know there's been some questions. So, Dr. Seitz, can we have this, or Mr. Petruzzo, too, as a discussion point in buildings, grounds, and safety? Thank you. Because I know we've done a tremendous amount here in Homedale. I'm proud to report the numbers. Dr. Seitz, the numbers have been extraordinary in how we report it and how it's reported out. Denise, thank you to your staff members for continuing to work with us and really providing a model school district for everyone. You know, people think we take credit for it, but we know, and I hope you, your membership knows, we appreciate your partnership in this, because we really did set the model, and hopefully we'll never have to use this model again. Next year, we'll return back to normal. This will all be unnecessary. I remain hopeful that that's the case, but thank you for that as well. So does that sound like a plan, Terrence? Could be.
Yes, thank you. Okay, that'd be wonderful. I think we should fully vet it, look at the science, look at the statistics, and come to a reasoned conclusion on whether or not it's smart science and smart planning or a knuckleheaded move.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? New business? All right. Questions or comments from the public?
I have something. There's two hands. Okay.
Ms. Collins is there. So I'm assuming I don't have to read. Or would you like me to just read them?
Oh, no, that's all right. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great. No, you don't have to read them. I'm happy to read them.
Okay.
Since I was able to make it. Okay, so good evening, board members and Dr. Seitz. Thank you for hearing our questions tonight. Just to thank you, Mr. Wall, because I had no idea what I was about to hear tonight, and it's just such a relief to know that somebody, and I know you're not alone up there, but that, you know, some of you guys really do have our kids' best interest in mind. Dr. Seitz, you made a comment at the beginning of the meeting that you plan to follow CDC recommendations. I just wanted to make one comment before I read my questions on that.
Yes.
The CDC does not take into consideration a lot of things. They don't take into consideration that unvaccinated individuals may have better immunity than those who have been vaccinated, and this includes kids. They may be less likely to transmit the virus than those who have been vaccinated. They don't know. They have not studied how this vaccine affects people who have already had COVID. There are no long-term studies on the possible, maybe probable, adverse effects of this vaccine on the population. And when we think critically about the guidance that they've put out, we continue to find big that we look at for over a year has shown that young kids are not contributing to the spread. Only recently, and with the talk of the new vaccine on the horizon for these young kids, are we beginning to see them talk about kids being responsible for transmission? So that begs a question. And I think to create such a hard sticking point based on guidance from this entity seems to be a disservice for our kids. So I'm just going to read the three-part question, and then if you could just respond as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Okay, so number one, first part, are you willing to or have you already contacted the NJEA, or half of the kids in this district who will greatly benefit when they are able to return to school without a mask mandate in place this fall? Part two, the township committee recently hosted an event that Mr. Wall made mention of in an effort to vaccinate preteens and teens with a vaccine under the emergency use authorization status, as it is currently an unapproved product. So they can, quote, be ready to return to in-person learning, end quote. Is this indicative of a vaccine mandate this fall in our district? If not, is this indicative of a mask mandate for those who do not opt for the EUA vaccine? Part three, would each board member please share your opinion on mask and vaccine mandates? I would like to ask for full transparency on this important topic. There are many efforts happening now to remove the current governor and put an end to the overreach, but let's assume for transparency purposes that state mandates are no longer an obstacle. We're all fighting this, and I think, you know, we've got a good shot at ending this in November, but we may have to backtrack a little because, of course, school starts in September. So, you know, this is why it's of extreme importance that our board members across the entire state reach out to our associations, our representatives, and our governor alike. And with that, I thank you so much for your time tonight, every month, and everything you guys do in between these meetings.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. And that was my point of sending this issue to the committee for further discussion and review. And we will be reporting out on what I, you know, almost feel like by the time we reconvene in June, there'll be a change probably by the governor. He unfortunately changes these rules haphazardly because it happens without sometimes notice. So, but Ms. Collins, your concerns as your address and as Mr. Wall address will be brought to our, we have a Buildings, Grounds, and Safety Committee, and they will discuss it and report out any further action, such as write to the governor and do all that. We will do that at our next. New where it says that? I've never heard that before on Zoom. I heard that today on Zoom. Something popped up when I was on a Zoom call this morning that I've never seen that said it's being recorded. It's like a new feature.
It was really weird.
That's pretty good. That's really good.
We're unable to connect to the questions. Mike,
yeah.
Thank you. We can't connect. We really have to go into the executive session. So to two people who raised their hands, we're unable to connect. If you'd like, you can email me your questions. And we will, when we come back out of closed session, we'll take those questions. I know we have three questions, Mike, but we have to go and, you know, we can't connect them.
Hello?
There we go. Hello, name and address, please.
Hi, Sheetal, Two Barrister Drive in Holmdel. I personally feel that we need to, you know, 3 months down the line, we don't know how things are going to play out. We don't know which variant it's going to come from which country. Right now, as we see it, India is already going through a tough time. It's because of a triple mutant variant that's come from the UK. So I feel like it's very premature to discuss what our mask mandate should be starting September. Because none of us can predict what's going to happen 3 months from now. Masks do not bring about depression. In fact, they've only brought confidence in parents who were reluctant to send their kids. There are still kids that have, decided to stay in virtual, and those kids are all never. So if you if you make that option of masks not being on the table for kids who are not vaccinated, which science says, you know, are the leading source of spreading the disease right now, 24% from what I hear from this morning by Dr. Wen, as opposed to educators talking about it, I will definitely take that into consideration, and as is the governor. So yes, this is not politics, it's based on science, plain and simple. And if you do mandate kids coming back in September, then you can impose things like not having the mask mandate.
Thank you. Kim DeSillo?
Evening, everybody. Kimberly DeSillo, 21 Huntley Road. Mr. Reddy, I was wondering with, because you spoke about the referendum and kind of just the punch list things at this point. I'm wondering if you can put together a presentation on what was presented as the initial 2020 referendum and what actually has concluded where and what got cut. So like, for instance, one of the things on the referendum was a SATS school, at the SATS school was a changing room on the first floor for the girls. That doesn't exist. It has not happened, I'm assuming at this point, because we're winding down that referendum, that it's not going to happen. So clearly it got cut at some point, but it's still listed on the referendum, like that's up on the website. So I'm just wondering if your committee could put together a presentation so that we can see, like, this is what we thought we were going to be able to do, and this is what we had to cut and what really got done.
Madam President, just to clarify, requests or comments from the public need to be addressed to the chair, not to individual board members, from the chair. So
yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's just because he's the building and grounds committee person. Yeah, so.
I understand. I'm just pointing out the parliamentary rules that it has to go through the chair.
So, Mr. Silla, we will take that under advisement. I think through many board meetings we've had discussed that. I thought the locker rooms were completed a while back. And Mr. Patrizzo, am I correct?
Correct.
So, but we'll follow up, but that's my understanding. That was one of the first projects we did back when in SATS, even before we did any of the exterior. Okay.
Vicki, I was going to say, going back, you know, since we've been lucky enough to be on the board since the start of planning of this referendum to all the way through the execution to finishing it, we can't just arbitrarily do things that we said we're going to do for the taxpayers and not do it.
Correct.
That would be illegal. So there is nothing that I'm aware of, and you know, we'll discuss it. We'll put it on the next committee agenda for this next meeting. But there's nothing that I know that we did not do.
There isn't.
At all. Exactly. And if anything, I know I have kids in the high school and SATs that, you know, they would, you know, want to have changing rooms and all the things that we said we were, you know, looking for in those.
The only reason it sticks out in my head, because I remember when we walked through SATs and we actually saw the changing rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful and it was scary. And we said that has to get done like immediately.
Correct.
So, but overall, Mr. Silla, the referendum projects are all done and complete. They were completed on time and under budget. So, and we were also able to incorporate some of our COVID remediation efforts last summer and expand some of the projects. So right now we're looking at other projects that didn't make the referendum initially to see what else we could get done between the fact that we're under budget and also all the savings that we made throughout the years. So, because we definitely, I know this board, and there was decisions made, we actually changed our, we had to make a switch at some point with our architect because some of the costs were coming in so high on, we did not want to drop any project, and we didn't drop any project throughout the referendum process.
And when we had the ribbon cutting ceremony, I know because of COVID, it was reduced and there's only certain things we want to do. But I know as a board, which I still think we as a board want to do, it is still offer walkthroughs when it's allowable so that people could see, especially in the SATS High School complex, all the taxpayer dollars at, you know, from the TV studio to the engineering lab to the new gym to the dance area to the locker rooms. I mean, there is a ton to see. So it would be my hope that hopefully sometime in the summer, we could say, hey, when kids come back to school or whatever it is, hey, come take a tour of the school.
The science
have the students do their volunteer hours and they could actually take the kids around, the peer leaders and all those other things.
So I mean, that was our plan initially as we were going through this. We really wanted to make sure the community was obtained like that real life progress throughout the project, but COVID really prevented us from doing so.
But hopefully we
get back to normal and we could do things like that.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Chandana Rao at 57 Oaks Drive. I'm calling because I'm a little concerned at the tenor and tone of this meeting regarding the mask mandates. I've been really pleased with the board thus far in how you have sort of ushered us through the pandemic and following the science and making your sort of decisions based on not only the CDC guidelines, but in what the Department of Health in New Jersey and what, you know, what the state's sort of, you know, rules and regulations have been. And I think by following those guidelines, which arguably are supported by science and scientists and doctors who are the trustworthy individuals who know this virus in and out, I feel that you have done a good job in ushering us through safely thus far. So to hear dialogue to sort of now say, look at the science, when the science thus far has been, you know, reflective of the decisions made by the governor and his team in New Jersey, and to say, let's not, you know, let's now, you know, disregard that science because of some political issue wherein that could affect our, you know, our children in September is very problematic. And I hope the board, you know, continues its path thus to, you know, in making their sort of decisions wisely and being guided by our physicians and scientists, not by what, you know, particular political folks may deem as scientific or not scientific. I hope that you continue to use a very measured approach. Our kids' lives matter to all of us. And, you know, if masks thus far have given them a sense of comfort and safety, and if that's something that the governor, I mean, he's not.
Okay. Thank you. Will be considered in our committees. I also,
President, might just say something briefly.
Just one second. I just want to make sure I add that you just reminded me. We're also going to make sure this item is reviewed in the Community Relations Committee so that everything is accurately and adequately communicated to the public, to parents, teachers, in a very clear and concise manner if there's any changes going forward. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, just briefly, I fully embrace CR's comments on policy, not politics, and that's precisely the point. 3.5 months from now, to have a mandate based on young children being forced to be vaccinated to be returning to schools, to me, that I call that vaccine extortion, because that's what it is to me. So from a policy standpoint, I think it's healthy to have constructive criticism and intellectual friction on what the best course is. In a completely separate dialogue, we could talk about sending COVID positive patients back into nursing homes to infect others and how the death rate skyrocketed in New Jersey. So sometimes decisions are made that are sound and logical, and other times they have deadly consequences. This is simply saying it's too early, as I've heard some folks say. It's 3.5 months out. Let's talk about the science and the statistics as we get closer, instead of frankly having parents locked in fear that their kids are going to get masked up when they're thinking they're starting a new day and a new dawn and a new year in a safe place, which has been the Homeville Schools, to the credit of the Board of Ed and the administrative staff and vendors and professionals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't see her first name. Hello, can you state your name and address?
Talking. Nope. Hello? I don't think we have a good connection at all. Yeah.
Big storms coming through.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to Madeline, Maddie Fields.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi. So I am Madeline Fields at 7 Carolyn Court, and I am currently a student at Homedale High School. I am a senior, and I am coming here to talk about lately there has been, it's come to the attention of students that some of their very beloved teachers are being removed from their positions to which they've been serving for several years. Notably in the humanities department is Mr. Tuma and Mr. Dante, who have been teaching AP language and composition and AP literature and composition for several years now. And it is a little disconcerting to be hearing some of the discourse that's going on around the APs and the AP testing specifically. Because with all due respect, this board is highly removed from the AP process. As a student, I'm highly involved, especially as a student who has had to go through college applications, and I am personally taking 6 APs, which is pretty much the max amount of AP classes that you can possibly take. And I took 5 AP tests. And so I know what it's like to take AP tests. And there's been talk that the teachers are being removed, quote, for not being able to get enough students to take the AP exam. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions regarding what goes on with these AP exams. For several years, it really hasn't been questioned why students choose to not take an AP exam. That's well within their right. And I think it's also important to consider that in a lot of these upper level classes, when you get to your senior year, Homedale literally does not offer an honors English class, which means that if you want to be in a high level English class, you are forced to take AP literature and composition with Mr. Tuma. Many students enter this class because they're passionate about learning literature and they heard the great reviews from previous students about Mr. Tuma and his enthusiasm to teach. However, they have no intention of taking the test, which is well within their rights and has always been within their rights as a student to opt out of the test. I personally opted out of taking the AP Literature and Composition exam this year because I got a 5 on my AP Language and Composition exam last May. So when I was a junior, I got a 5, and my college only takes 1 AP English exam. So I don't understand why I would be forced to subject myself to sitting down for a 4-hour exam in the middle of all my other exams. And by the way, when you sit down for an exam, you have to basically miss your entire day of school while you're prepping for your other exams. And so for students who do not find that this exam would be useful to them, it is not fair that they are going to be pressured by an administration to take these exams. The AP classes are structured in a way to prepare students for college. So I think that it's unfair to make an argument that AP exams are necessary to help students prepare for exams in college, because that's what their tests are during class the entire year. That's what prepares them. And you can ask pretty much any educator in the building and they would agree with me that AP tests are not reflective of a student's capability throughout that class. pretty much, it's not really reflective of anything at all, especially the way that they structure standardized tests nowadays. Most educators would agree that they are beneficial to a very specific set of students with a very specific set of skills. And I'm lucky that I'm a good test taker, but that is really what a lot of these tests, these AP tests are testing. And it's really sad that what it feels like is the school is compromising the well-being of the students and their eagerness to learn and their intellectual curiosity to pursue classes with senior teachers such as Mr. Tuma and Mr. Dante, both of which have extremely high levels of experience in the field. Mr. Dante has been a journalist for, you know, years prior to teaching at Holmdel for rankings. And an administrator here said that they don't care about rankings for ranking's sake. But I don't really understand why else they would care about rankings. There's a lot of students who are really passionate about this subject, like me, because they really care about their teachers, like Mr. Tuma and Mr. Dante. And they have little siblings who they were hoping would come through and have these same teachers. And there's a lot of students, there's a lot of student interest in seeing these teachers reinstated in their classes that they've been teaching for years. So I would say that it would be looked highly favorably upon by the board to reevaluate these decisions from parents, from students, and from students that are going to be coming up through in future years, and to also reevaluate their stance on AP exams and how that's actually detrimental to the learning process here at Holmdel. Thank you.
Thank you, Maddie, and congratulations on doing such a great job in all of your academics here in Holmdel. I really speak on behalf of the board by saying we definitely appreciate the amount of effort you put into your education, and it's really, I'm sure, going to pay off as you go off to college. One of the questions I have, Dr. Seitz, is I'm actually unclear. We don't, and I don't know if the public knows this, we don't make decisions on who gets assigned what. That's not a Board of Ed decision as to who gets what classroom assignment. So I don't know what people are asking us to do. Dr. Seitz, can you elaborate? Because I'm unclear as to what's being referenced in this question. It seems like the students know about class assignments before we do.
Okay. Excuse me. First of all, we just echo that Madeline has done a fantastic job, and it's interesting that she took 5 AP exams this year. I'd like to, not tonight, but at some point, understand why that decision was made. But in terms of staff assignments, the law is very clear. Teachers are entitled to a position once they're tenured. It's at the discretion of the administration as to who teaches what. And any staffing decisions are made by a group of people that include, in this case, Dr. Charney, appropriate supervisors, myself, the person working in the HR department, and the appropriate principal. And these assignments are discussed, and they are made administratively, always in the best interest of the students. The board does not act on any teacher assignment at all.
Thank you. And I also want to note, I know Maddie mentioned something that said this just came up recently about concerns over the amount of students taking APs. And I just want to yet again articulate, this has been an issue that I've been on the board for 6 years, and I've sat here with 3 superintendents, and every single one of them raised this as an issue to the board members that needs to be addressed. And hopefully we'll continue to work with our staff, our students, our parents to come to some resolution. But I just want to make sure that's clear. This is not something that just came up this year. Anything else, Steve? I think Mrs. Amirati probably reported out on some of these issues in the past. Okay. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened before. Layla Mayer, he's 17 Flora Drive. I'm here to express my disappointment in the Homebell Township School District administration. After hearing about a new policy change regarding AP classes, I'm extremely dismayed by the decisions of the superintendent. Education has value beyond test scores and statistics. When I am in the classroom, a literature classroom, for example, I want to learn about literature. I do not want the entire class to be focused on how to do multiple choice questions. The teach to the test philosophy that seems to have taken over in Homedale disregards any purpose of education beyond test scores. When deciding which English class I wanted to take for my senior year, I was hoping that Honors English 12 would be an option. I wanted to continue in a high-level English class after taking AP Lang my junior year, but I knew that I would not be able to use the AP Literature credit at university. Unfortunately, Honors English 12 was not offered. I wanted something more challenging than regular English, so I decided to take AP Lit, even though I had no intention of taking the test. My class dove deep into many famous works of literature, new and old, and it was one of the most rewarding classes I have ever taken at HHS. When I discovered that the district was trying to make AP tests mandatory, I was confused. Why would the district force me to take an exam when it had no use for me? Why did the district care more about testing statistics than my well-being? I was further disturbed to find out that certain AP teachers, like Mr. Tuma and Mr. Dante, would no longer be teaching AP at HHS. These AP teachers and others were blamed for the lack of test taking, even though their teaching had nothing to do with those numbers. To demote teachers who give everything they have to their lessons, teachers that understand the importance of education, is misguided. In effect, you are scapegoating AP teachers because you neglected to ask students if they would be taking AP exams before paying for the tests. The district should offer more honors courses so that students can take challenging classes without taking an AP class when they cannot use exam credit. The culture in the school, referenced by Dr. Seitz, is a result of the lack of honors courses at Homedale High School. Students wanting challenging courses are pushed to take AP classes even if they do not want to take the AP test. Instead of taking responsibility for an administrative miscalculation, you are blaming the teachers. Teachers like Mr. Dante and Mr. Tuma inspire a lifelong passion for literature, and many of their lessons have implications well beyond the classroom. The teachers do everything in their power to provide their students with an amazing education, but this policy strongly suggests that there is a distinct lack of support from the Board of Ed and the superintendent. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. Do you have anything or? I mean, one of the concerns I continue to have, which I expressed at the last meeting, I really am concerned as to what's being discussed with these children about by adults about their class assignments. I hope that's not what I'm hearing, but that's what I keep hearing. So I would like that to be, Dr. Seitz, I refer that to you as I must, as president, take a look at. A
couple of things. I would be very disappointed if our teachers in any course talk to a final exam. That certainly is not part of the AP curriculum and certainly not the intent of any decision we made. Secondly, we do make decisions. They involve personnel and therefore we cannot comment on them in public. But no one has been demoted. No one has been fired. It is well within the responsibilities of the administration to put teachers in what we believe the best position to help students. And that's when we looked at our staffing decisions for the 21-22 school year, that's exactly what we did. It was not punitive in nature. It was how can we best use our staff to meet the ever-changing needs of our students. What I do find interesting is that we have an honors program, but we don't have enough enrollment in that program to run it. So that is of interest to me. So I believe, again, I could be wrong what I my understanding, but the honors course is offered. Students just have not, in sufficient numbers, elected to take it. And therefore, as a result, we don't have enough students to justify running that class, and that happens with other courses as well. So the course is in the curriculum. It's a matter of enrollment that's preventing it from running, and we can take a look at that, and maybe we can talk to students, and we can speak to our guidance counselors about how to counsel students so that if somebody wants advanced study but doesn't want the AP burden, shall we say, as it's been described, we can maybe have those students elect the honors program that is available. But again, no one should be teaching to the test. However, formative and summative tests are valuable for us to determine the effectiveness of our programs. I mean, that's just a reality of life. Everything you do is measured. And if you're at a certain level, regardless of being measured, we do have the intent to improve upon that. And so we looked at everything going on at the high school, all the courses being offered, all the teachers that are available to us, and based on the recommendation of our variety of administrators, these are the decisions we made. But they have not been released publicly. So the only way this can be made public is by an individual teacher. And he or she would have had to share that with someone for it to be out in the public and certainly to inform students.
Well, I appreciate you looking into that. Any other questions?
Do you think there's a direct correlation between, okay, we have a whole bunch of AP courses in the district, which is great. I mean, congratulations to all these kids and taking all these crazy courses, everything like that. But is there a direct correlation that we don't have honors courses in a lot of these because all these kids are taking AP courses? I mean, I know for one, I was like, I presume if you take that honors class, wouldn't there be a test at the end of that?
That's what Lee just said. Yeah, he said that. They're not taking the honors classes. They're choosing.
Right, but direct correlation. But I'm saying if there were honors classes, which
there are honors classes.
There's a test at the end of those things. So these aren't survey courses. That's, you know.
Again, what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And again, Hopewell has a very robust curriculum, especially for the size of the high school. Ideally, for the curriculum that we offer, we should have a minimum of 1,200 students. If you had that number, more courses would fill. You'd have adequate enrollment in these other courses so that we could run them. But with the program we offer and the number of students, about 950, it makes it difficult. These courses are called singletons. They have one section. And if we don't get 12 or 15 students, then we can't really rationalize running that program. But you are correct. Whether it's honors or AP, there's a exam at the end of the event. And again, I think we have to keep perspective here. We do have about 66% of our students taking the AP exams. I understand we have some students who take a significant number in a given year. Madeline, I think, said five. And I could see where that would be a significant challenge. And yet, I think she took four out of the five final exams. So she must see value in it as well. But again, we're going to have to dig down into this and find out why our students are not taking the AP exams. I think it's a legitimate question. It's been raised repeatedly over the years. And when you compare ourselves to other high-performing high schools, that is one area that jumps out at everybody who looks at the data. So again, we may have a sound reason that we don't have students taking 88 or 90% of the AP exams. We just don't know at this point. Certainly the experiment this year, paying for the exams, was to encourage students to take it. I mean, they're expensive, and if someone takes five or six of them, that's a large chunk of money. The good news is that we registered all our students for the AP exams, but we only have to pay for the ones that were actually taken. So that means we did not waste any money, but gave every student the opportunity to take an AP exam. And we found out that this year, again, it's an anomaly this year with the pandemic and everything, about 66% of our students took that. I'd like to know why some took it, why some didn't. And based on that, we can then make a decision how to go forward. But that issue is completely separate from how we assign teachers.
Yeah, and we'll see how also with the pandemic, how it affects overall scores anyway, performance and participation rates. I'm sure it's going to definitely impact it this year after the pandemic. Any other questions? Okay.
Board President?
Yes.
Just a brief suggestion. We've heard a number of different times of communications that seem to pierce the conversational veil between teachers and their students. Would it be appropriate if perhaps the union president and Paul have a conversation, perhaps with administration, so there's updated communications on what's an appropriate communication for educators to have with their students in regard to items that are personnel related? There may not be instances, but it appears that there may be instances of communications that perhaps.
So that's why I asked Dr. Seitz to take a look into look into that. Let me finish with the students. What do you want? I don't want to, yeah, the students are still on. Go ahead.
You ready?
No.
Hi. I would just like to reiterate that there are two students here who are here to offer their opinions on why students choose not to take AP exams. I think it's important to note that in some of these other school districts, they have much greater numbers. So it's easier for them to just have a higher quantity, since that's what it's based off of. It's not really based off percentage, as from what I've heard, it's based off of quantity of students that take it. In addition, these students are often like, they have a much higher, these schools have a much higher number of students who are able to take APs in their freshman, sophomore, and junior year. My junior year, there was not a ton of wiggle room for a lot of students to take more than two or three APs. None were available for my freshman year, and very, very minimal were available my sophomore year. So I only knew of select handful of students taking APs their sophomore year. So it means that for most students, the greatest number of APs that will be taken during their senior year. And there's a great number of factors, especially the fact that they get into college and they no longer need to take these exams. And I mean, that's always been the policy for the final exams as well. I mean, someone brought up that final exams exist in honors classes as well, but juniors and seniors who perform well in their classes have always been able to opt out of the final exams, which are also very different from an AP exam, because final exams are created by the department of the school, which has a much firmer grasp on what has been taught to the students in a given year, versus the AP curriculum, where that is not really it's not to specific to the school, it's across the entire nation, and there's sometimes just a sense of students that they feel like they don't want to take a test, that they're not exactly sure what's going to be on it, no matter how prepared they might feel, especially if they don't need it for college. I think that's like the core of this issue, is that most of the kids taking APs at Homedale are seniors, and due to the circumstances of seniors leaving and not really needing those AP exams, they opt to not take it. And I think that's a pretty clear trend. I would also venture to say that it's not one or two teachers that kind of break that veil between students and student-teacher communication. This is kind of something that just kind of occurs. It's not like, I mean, we go to board meetings and students are actively involved in the school life. And I think it's very important for students to be involved in knowing what's happening, because when there is a personnel shift, it's very disheartening to students, especially when they're bringing in brand new teachers to teach really high level classes. That doesn't always work. I think students have somewhat of a right to know.
Thank you so much, Manny. There's one more student, right? And then Denise. Go ahead.
Yeah, thought this was an important point to bring up in terms of honors classes and the demand for them, because when I was scheduling my senior year classes, I was never given the option of an honors course.
I was only told there's regular English or AP Lit. So I'm not sure, you know, like where the miscommunication is, or if there is one, or if there just needs to be a better policy in place to have very clear communication and very clear numbers about student interest in honors versus AP classes. But I was not offered, even given the option of taking an honors English course.
That's, thank you for sharing that with us, because that is a good point of reference to understand why people aren't taking honors. So thank you for calling back and sharing that information with us. Have a great night. Dr. Seitz will look into that and some other issues. I know Dr. Charney is looking into this issue, and we'll be reporting back to the board this summer on it. Okay. Go ahead, Denise. Thank you.
I just want to address some of the comments that are made. You cannot assume that teachers are speaking to students about this. As you just heard from a student, they go to board meetings. They're aware about what's going on because of attending. So the AP issue isn't coming from conversations from teachers to students. I've been here for years. And you're right, the AP discussion has been going on in these board meetings for years. So that particular issue and assignments, if you work in a school, you know a lot of times information gets around and it doesn't necessarily ever have to come from an individual speaking directly to a child and letting them know. And that's something, it's an assumption that we're making here. And I don't think
that's why I'm going to ask Dr. Seitz to look into it to make sure it's not wrong, because I have a real problem if this is what's being discussed in the classroom. And I think he does too. Because I don't know about the assignments.
But I'm saying you're making an assumption that that's what's going on, and that's not the case.
They came here tonight and said they're upset that their teacher who taught them this year in an AP class is not teaching it next year. And I don't know how that information,
I know about that information, and I wasn't even there. It comes around the schools. That's what happens. But it doesn't come from necessarily them talking to students. It's already out there in the public. So what I'm saying to you is assignments, once they're out and people are moved, you even have transfers right here.
Okay. Denise, I don't know. It's concerning to me. I'm not making a final decision. I want Dr. Seitz to look into this, because I feel very uncomfortable that students are coming here and telling us that this, or suggesting or inferring, this information is being shared with them in school. Information that we don't discuss publicly. We would never discuss this publicly.
Assignments in here that you just voted on right now. These people got job transfers in this board meeting, and we don't get our assignments to June 1st, but it's right here, this document.
Okay.
It's written in the document. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know what my assignment is, but if you switched me and it was in this document, then I would know before June 1st. That's my point.
Those aren't in there. Who's in? Okay. Dr. Seitz, just please look into it, and it will be reported back, just so everyone's clear, in a confidential manner in a closed session. I will not discuss this publicly. And that's my concern. I don't want students feeling like it's okay to come here and discuss this stuff publicly. And for some reason, it seems to happen. It's happened a lot on this topic, and that's concerning to me. I'm not making a final determination. That's why Dr. Seitz will look into it. Okay, anything else? Okay. At this point, the board has to go into executive session to discuss an item that is excused from discussion in public due to the fact it involves confidential personnel matters by law. So can I have a motion? No,
before you do that,
okay.
You've closed the public session, correct?
No, but I just, the public, I usually comment. Just, public comment, yeah, I just public usually comment. Go on.
So I would like to respond before we go into closed session.
Oh, okay.
Because I think what was said was not accurate here.
Okay. Sorry, Dr. Seitz. I apologize.
Mrs. King's comments combine both teaching assignments and transfers. Two completely different things. We do make transfers public because the board has to vote on them. That's fine. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is that the teachers at the high school were given their assignments, some of them early, some of them a little later, but by law, by contract, we have to give them to you by June 1st. The teacher's assignments are confidential. They are shared with the teacher. So they cannot be made public unless a teacher releases them in some form. They can be overheard by a student if they're discussing it in a public area. They can be discussed in a classroom if a teacher chooses to do so. But other than that, they are not public. They are not shared with the public. They are not published at this time to the public. And by public, I mean other staff members, students, parents, community members. So I think we need to be clear on that. We're not saying transfers. Transfers are public. They're voted on by the board, and that's the way we have to do it. But when it comes to a teacher's assignment, they are brought into an office or given a memo with the assignment, tentative assignment for next year on that document. And it's between the teacher and the administration. So I don't believe the administration released that information. So we're not making an assumption. There is no one else who has that information other than the teacher. And I did speak to the administrators who were involved, and there was no indication there that they made anything public, and I don't believe they would. They know that's not appropriate. So I just want to clarify that point before we break for the night and go into closed session.
Thank you, Dr. Seitz. Back to my motion. I have a motion to go into executive session to discuss items that are excluded from law from being discussed in open due to the confidential and personnel nature. I have a motion.
Move.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Good night, everyone. Thank you.